All right, sorry, I just had to redo one thing here. So, yeah, as I said, just write 4 minutes at the top of the page if you weren't able to complete it. Certainly do not fret too much if you weren't able to, because this is the first time we have done this exercise in the new sequence of work that we're doing. So what are we trying to do here is not, of course, have a perfect score at perfect speed the very first time. The thing that we're trying to do is to get used to doing this exercise once again and challenging ourselves to get this information down on the page quickly. So everybody has different challenges in that regard. Sometimes it can be you're not used to writing very quickly. And so definitely don't worry about it if it's difficult. But sometimes these little difficult exercises are worth doing just for that reason, just for the challenge that they represent to us in that way. So what I would like to do, rather than quiz you on your answers, I don't want you to feel bad about how quickly you were able to do it or not. That's not what matters. What I want to ask you is about the meaning of these particular facts, or I want to remind you about the meaning of these particular facts. And so let's talk about the ones on the lower L page. I guess it would take me just a second to bring them back up on my screen, so I'm going to do that. And then what we can do is, let's see, did that come up? We can, now they were in the Lecture 80 resources, which is right here. Here's the answer key for the new one. So, you know, you don't have to write these exact words, right? I think everybody knows that. So, it's just useful to have them here. And what I would like to remind you of, just to keep you understanding these facts in the right way, is what these facts mean in American history. Okay? And the way to think about that is this. The United States would not be the country that it is today without dot, dot, dot. Okay? Remember, this is our new key phrase for anchor facts, to understand an anchor fact. The United States would not be the country that it is today without dot, dot, dot. So let's do the first one. 1861 to 65. Who can complete that sentence? That one's probably the easiest one because we've done it before. So how would we complete that sentence with anchor fact number one? The United States would not be the country that it is today without... Rosetta, go ahead.
The country of the United States would not be the same without the Civil War.
Okay, which?
Which abolished slavery.
Okay, there you go. Right, so that's the key thing, right? The United States would not be a country without slavery today, without the Civil War. Right, so that's the meaning of it, that America today is what it is because of the Civil War. Okay. Oh, this is an interesting one. Number two, we know that America fights in World War I. Can somebody do that particular one? How did that change America? How did Woodrow Wilson change America? Abby, do you want to try that one?
Well, he changed it by making it so that now America was probably even more than it had been expected when it helped Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably now really expected to help pretty much every country in the world, and they were now really very much of a world police power.
Right. What did Woodrow Wilson say that America should do?
He said that they should help Europe.
More than that. What did he say about the world?
They should help the world. They should be a world police power.
Now that phrase came from Theodore Roosevelt, but Woodrow Wilson said the United States should make the world safe
from For democracy.
For democracy, there you go, right. So, if we look at the United States today, that's still what it does. If we look at this this anchor fact down here at the bottom, the war on terror, when the United States went and attacked the countries of Afghanistan and Iraq after the attacks of 9/11, what kind of government did it create in those two countries as an international police power? What did it want to give as a kind of gift to the people of those countries to help them stop terrorism? You guys might not know, but you can guess. Because you know that history works a certain way, what kind of government did it give them, Abby?
It wanted to give them a democracy.
Democracy, exactly, right. And so, yeah, so this is what World War I is. America is the country today that wants to protect democracy. Why? Because of World War I. That's when it started to do that. Okay, so yes, you're right, it became an international police power. That's another way of saying it. Okay, so the United States would not be the country that it is today, dot, dot, dot. How about World War II? Are we ready to do that one yet? That might be a little bit soon because we haven't really quite felt what the results of it are, but maybe somebody can already think of what it would be. What is the answer to that one? The United States would not be what it is today, except for World War II. Maybe we're not quite ready for that one. There's a few different ways of putting that. I'll give you a starter answer, okay? The most powerful country in the world. Okay, that definitely. Why, remember what this symbol is over here, right? What is the symbol that we use to mark World War II? Patrick?
A nuclear bomb.
A nuclear bomb, a nuclear explosion, right, in World War II. That's part of how America became the most powerful country in the history of the world and the most powerful country today. Yeah, so World War II was definitely a part of that. Okay, and now what we're going to get to today is we need, as it turns out, we need one more anchor fact in our American history. We don't have them all yet. And so we've got this last one here that is the attacks of 9/11 on the United States. Okay, but that is a puzzle, actually. It's a fact from history where people who are people from the Middle East who follow the religion of Islam, some of them, many are terrorists. Now, why is that? Why are they attacking the United States? How did that happen? Is the puzzle that we now have to understand. And so we need one more anchor fact, one more thing to understand the world that we live in. And we're going to look at it starting today. So, now, just before we dive into that, which is the topic of today's lecture, you probably saw it on the title page earlier. Before we dive into that, just one more point about the facts practice to get you ready for tomorrow. The facts practice, I'm going to put a link to the facts practice onto the newest, you know, Lecture 87 resources for today. But I do want you to also notice that the Lecture 87 resources have now a timeline. The final, notice what it says there. The final anchor fact timeline with the thing that we're going to talk about today. So it looks like this. Oh wait, not that one. Looks like this. So this is your final anchor fact timeline for the 2014-15 American History Program. And there's only one extra fact on there that you haven't seen yet. And it's, you know, as promised, what we're going to talk about today. The one that we need to understand how the international police power of the United States came to be locked in a war on terror. What? How did it happen? Why are we in this situation that we are in today?
How do we understand this using history? And it has to do with the Truman Doctrine. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Have we seen something similar to that up to this point? We have this thing called the Truman Doctrine. Have we seen any other ones like that, Abby?
The Monroe Doctrine.
The Monroe Doctrine, right, exactly. Now, as I come to introduce this topic to you guys, it occurs to me that, you know, something probably needs to happen here. I'm not sure if you guys are holding up your end of the bargain when it comes to learning things like the Monroe Doctrine and the Truman Doctrine. I'm going to put you guys on the spot again. What do you suppose I'm getting at here? Mr. Powell goes and uses these words, and he says that there's a doctrine out there, and so Jennifer, what's a doctrine?
I have no idea.
Aha! Caught you! And you're not the only one. Alright, Sigourney, what's a doctrine?
I forgot, what is a doctrine?
Oh, okay, well, there, that's a good way to go, not just to say, I don't know if you ever knew it, Sigourney, you said you forgot, that's a good one, but I don't know if you ever really knew it, because nobody asked me the first time around, what is a doctrine? That's what I'm getting at. I'm getting at this trap that I notice you guys fall into pretty much 100% of the time. So you guys gotta watch this one. This is a bad trap to be in life, where other people use words you don't understand. Don't let them do it. And don't ever be worried about saying you don't know what a word is and that you would like help to understand it. I guess I haven't 100% convinced you yet that I'm your ally. So that, because you feel like you can't tell me that you don't know a word. Or is that it? Or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's that. I think this is what it is. I think that you guys are not used to being aggressive or ambitious about the ideas that you encounter. You get what I'm saying? You're not used to challenging them and reveling in understanding what ideas are and how important they are. I love doing that. So whenever I get a word and I don't know what it is, bam, I hit the dictionary. I start researching it and I want to know what that word is. So just the other day I was learning a word, you know, I was learning a fun word, and it was the word discombobulate. You guys ever heard of that one? Never mind, you guys don't need to know that word. But I had fun with the word discombobulate the other day. So anyway, I'm going to give you guys the word doctrine. Because you guys, look at that! Right there on the dictionary it says, an example of a doctrine is the Monroe Doctrine. Okay? What is a doctrine? Okay, so a doctrine is a policy, I'm going to summarize here, a policy advocated as of a religion or government. Oh my gosh. Okay, good. We got it. Right? Everybody got that? A policy advocated for a government. Wyatt?
What does advocated?
Oh, bravo! That was probably the top question of the entire academic year. Thank you. Because Wyatt remembers that last year Mr. Powell taught you guys how to take a definition and work through the terms of the definition. If you don't know what they mean, you got to look them up too. Right, so cool. On dictionary.com, one thing is, when they use a word, look what they do. They give you a link. Oh, you want to find out what advocate is? All right, let's look up advocate. Advocate means to speak or write in favor of something. Or, I think a great synonym for advocate is recommend. Okay, so does that help, Wyatt, to recommend something, right? When somebody recommends a movie to you or a restaurant to you, that's easy, right? So if we take the word advocate and we switch it for recommend, all right, so a doctrine is a policy recommended for a government. Does that help? A policy recommended for a government by someone. Yes, Wyatt?
Also, I'm wondering, I never really noticed this, but I don't know what policy means.
Wonderful. That is terrific that you noticed that it's a little fuzzy for you, and that's just a wonderful thing to notice and then to go and solve as a problem. Right? So if we go and we hit the old policy button here, a course of action. A course of action pursued by a government. A course of action. So a set of action, like a course is, right, like like running an obstacle course, right? Going and doing certain steps, taking certain actions. So does that help, Wyatt? A policy is a set of actions that you take?
Yes, but I was wondering, what is a political party?
Oh my gosh, now wait a minute. Now you're taking us into a whole other direction here. We don't quite need to go there, okay? So here's what I want you to notice. This is a course of action recommended for a government. Can somebody tell me what was the course of action recommended for the American government by James Monroe? See, now that we know what a doctrine is, we can work with examples. What was the course of action recommended for the American government by James Monroe? Nemo?
Was it staying neutral?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, staying independent and defending the rights of Americans by staying neutral. Right. Okay, good. And we saw that George Washington had the same policy. People didn't end up calling it the Washington Doctrine, but it was pretty much the same thing, right? So a doctrine is a set of recommendations for a government. Okay. So now that helps us. Here, now let me show you something interesting about the word. Well, you know what? That's as far as we can go today with the words. Words are so much fun. If you go on dictionary.com and you can do so many fun things with words. You can look up where the word comes from. It's got a map of the world and it points to, tells you where, what languages it came from. It tells you about when the first time people started using the word. It tells you what languages and what words it's related to. Oh, you can just get lost there. Dictionaries are amazing, so I recommend that you go ahead and get that word doctrine and a set of recommendations for a government and just dive into it. See what you can do on there as a little personal project. Okay, so what I want to do here is get to the Truman Doctrine, right? The Truman Doctrine came in 1947, which means right after World War II. Let's bring this up. Notice, World War II was from 1939 to 1945, was ended by the atomic bombings of Japan by the United States, and then President Truman announced the Truman Doctrine, a set of recommendations for the American government by President Truman. All right. Now, Patrick's giggling a little bit because he's kind of feeling like, oh, that's not so bad, right? We got this complicated grown-up word, doctrine, and it's really pretty straightforward as long as we kind of figure it out, right? We work with it. So, what was the set of recommendations? It had to do with this terrible situation that happened at the end of World War II. what is this a map of? At the end of World War II, as we encountered it last time, how would you explain this map to somebody? See. You would start by saying to them, after World War II, ... Okay, what would be your explanation of this map? Abby, go ahead.
Well, it looks like, so after World War II, America, I don't see exactly how America would be different, but Europe might be different.
Okay, it's a little bit tricky. All right, so let me remind you, because we only saw it once, and so it's fine if you don't quite remember. Notice we got Germany in the middle here. And that was America's enemy in World War II. Part of it's blue, part of it's red. This is deep red, this is light red. All of this, okay, Nemo has an idea of what he wants to do to explain this map to everyone. Go ahead.
This is the Cold War.
Okay, and what does that mean?
The people aren't actually fighting, but they're disliking each other.
Okay, yeah, so you're onto something there, and we are going to get to this term, the Cold War, but I guess what I was asking, and maybe it was needed to be a clearer question, was, what are these colors? You know, when you look at a map, you've got these two colors, and why is it like that, right? Whenever you look at a map, you should always figure out, okay, what am I looking at? It's Europe. And why are there colors on the map? And what do they stand for? And try to explain that. And so, let's see, Rosetta, you want to try?
The colors stand for who's allies with who. The reds are allies with each other, with Germany. And the blues are allies together. And the white colors are countries that are neutral.
Okay, almost, not quite. The white is neutral, you are right. The blue countries are allies of the United States at the end of World War II, and the red countries are allies of the United States' temporary ally, which all of a sudden became its enemy. Remember, yesterday, we had the United States going into World War II. It didn't want to. It was attacked, and it had to defend itself and fight against Japan and its ally, Germany. And when it did that, it had to choose a temporary ally, which was this huge country here, which is labeled, strangely, the Soviet Union. What's another name for that? This huge country here on the edge of Europe. Was that again?
Russia.
Russia, exactly. Right. It was a temporary ally of the United States. But why was it not a friend? Remember, the enemy of my enemy is a temporary ally. But definitely not necessarily a friend. Why was Russia not a friend of the United States? Even though they were both fighting Germany. Abby?
Well, because they believed in different things and they had a very different kind of government that was it was a government that the United States really did not support or like very much at all.
Mm-hmm. It was basically the opposite of American freedom. In America, you have a right to your own life. In the form of government of called communism in Russia, you have to work and the government takes everything from you and gives it to others. So you have no right to your own life. Yeah, so they were the opposite. And so that's what happened at the end of World War II, is the temporary allies became enemies. And, well, the problem was, what's America going to do now? Is America, now that America has cleaned up this problem of Germany and Japan being terrible empires attacking other countries, can we go back to normalcy? Can America go back to having just saying, okay, we fixed the problem again. We won another world war. Now we go back home. Good enough? Job well done? We'll just let everybody do whatever they want from now on again until there's another world war, and then we gotta come back and fix it again. So, what happened? What happened after this second world war, where the United States had had to save Europe twice, and now had to save the whole world? It has to do with why we have this blue and why we have this red. Nemo, go ahead.
The United States had to stay to make sure Europe didn't have another world war.
Exactly. The United States, the leader of the United States, President Truman, said, we have to stay this time. We can't leave. Because if we leave, the only thing that's going to happen is these people will start another world war and it'll be worse than the last one. And we'll have to save them again. So, what's bad? How should we handle this? If we stay, there won't be a terrible war. If we leave, there'll be another one. And we'll have to fix it again. So, now we get to the Truman Doctrine. The Truman Doctrine was, the United States should police the world to stop the growth of communism. The United States should stop this big red blob from getting any bigger. Should not, the United States should not go, American soldiers should not go home and just let these people decide whatever they want to do. But the United States should recognize that communist Russia is dangerous and would invade and conquer all of these countries if it could. And therefore, to make the world safe for democracy, the United States must stand there as an international police power and stop communism from getting any bigger. The Truman Doctrine. A new policy. There's that word. Now we can use that word. Thanks to Wyatt, we can use the word policy in this class. A set of recommendations for the government. A new policy for America. Not just to make the world safe for democracy, but to make it safe from communism. All right, we'll come back and check up how you guys are doing with the term doctrine, with the term Truman Doctrine, and all those other related ideas tomorrow. So hopefully also you'll have your facts practice ready, so good luck prepping that, and we'll pick things up where we left off.
Bye.
Okay, thanks everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.